Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 228 to close at 16,620. The S&P 500 up 27 at 1,945. NASDAQ Composite up 66 at 45.70. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 2 basis points at 1.77%. Oil up $1.84 at $31.48 per barrel. Gold down $17.70 at $1,209.30 per ounce. Well, stocks across the globe rallied today, sending Dubai shares into a bull market. Oil rebounded, metals advanced. The pound slid as a split in the UK's ruling party over European Union membership increased the potential for an exit from the bloc. The UK currency weakened the most in almost 7 years against the dollar after London's Mayor Boris Johnson said he'll campaign for Britain's exit from the EU, opposing Prime Minister David Cameron. We all know the old saying, buy low, sell high. The problem is picking the highs and lows. John Stoltzfus, Oppenheimer's chief market strategist, has noticed a trend. In a report this morning, he looked at the lows over the past year. There were 7 major lows, and they all happened as the S&P 500 dipped down to 16.5 to 17 times earnings. That's when stocks looked cheap and buyers stepped in. This, of course, is not a hard and fast rule. It only works until it doesn't. The IEA says today's oil market conditions do not suggest that prices can recover sharply in the immediate future. The IEA says oil markets will begin to rebalance in 2017 thanks to falling U.S. production, but that decline will prove short-lived as efficiency gains will push U.S. output to new records by the beginning of the next decade. Production of U.S. shale oil is expected to drop by 600,000 barrels per day this year and a further 200,000 barrels per day next year before gradually recovering. Within weeks, 2 low-profile legal disputes may determine whether an unprecedented wave of bankruptcies expected to hit U.S. oil and gas producers this year will imperil the $500 billion pipeline sector as well. In the 2 court fights, U.S. energy producers Sabine Oil and Gas and Quicksilver Resources are trying to use Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection to drop long-term contracts with the pipeline operators. Pipeline operators have argued the contracts are secure, but restructuring experts say that if the 2 producers manage to tear up or renegotiate their deals, others will follow. Exactly how major asset sales and defaults are handled will be a big part of figuring out where oil prices go from here. We really haven't seen much in the way of major asset sales in the oil patch yet. There have been some distressed sales and some defaults, and when the banks take over, they are quick to unload assets. Those banks are motivated sellers and will likely keep the market for energy assets depressed for at least a year. Of course, for the big private investors with long-term horizon like a Blackstone or a KKR, this could create a major opportunity. Yet the private equity firms are being very disciplined about their capital and are only slowly starting to enter the market for such assets. We haven't seen much M&A activity, probably because sellers have been clinging to the hope that prices will come back and they'll be vindicated for sitting on their assets. But that might change this year as more sellers are forced by defaults to accept any price they can find or, alternately, lose the asset to BK. It'll take some time to work through the carnage, probably another year at least. Clearly, these are dangerous times for equity investors in the oil patch. Also dangerous down on the farm. As the U.S. farming sector enters the 3rd year of a downturn caused by a global glut of grains and slumping commodity prices, bankers across the Midwest are starting to tighten lending conditions, even cutting some clients off. Many corn and soybean farmers already are trying to adjust by selling off grain stockpiles and begging the bankers to restructure debt and give them more time to pay it back. Farm sector debt soared past $364 billion last year, forecast to top $372 billion in 2016. The Flash Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index from Market fell to 51 from 52.4 in January. This matches the lowest level since September 2009. Economists had been expecting a reading of 52.5, while a reading above 50 represents expansion. Softer rates of output, new business, and employment growth all weighed on the index over the past month. Manufacturing output fell for the third time in the past 4 months. Market's chief economist said U.S. factories are reporting the worst business conditions for over 3 years. Every indicator from the Flash PMI survey, from output, order books, and exports to employment, inventories, and prices, flashing a warning light about the health of the manufacturing economy. CNBC reports that Honeywell and United Technologies have held talks about a merger. A deal would create a company with combined sales of more than $90 billion. It's not a done deal. Terms have not been worked out, and there would still be some antitrust hurdles as well. Cisco, S-Y-S-C-O, Cisco has agreed to acquire the Brakes Group, a European food distributor, for $3.1 billion. The deal comes less than a year after Cisco terminated its $3.5 billion deal with U.S. Foods, after regulators determined that the combination would be harmful to consumers by leading to higher prices and lower service. The private banking and asset management firm EFG International has agreed to acquire BSI, the Swiss private banking arm of the Brazilian investment bank BTG Pactual, for about $1.3 billion, creating one of the largest private banks in Switzerland with about 170 billion francs under management. HSBC Holdings posted a loss of $858 million, falling far short of analyst expectations for a profit of $1.9 billion in the most recent quarter. The profit miss is not the only problem facing the bank, though. The SEC is investigating the company's Asia-Pacific hiring practices. The investigation concerns the bank's hiring of people that have close government ties. Fannie Mae is at risk of needing a government bailout that could shake up confidence in the housing finance market, so says the Financial Times. The reason is because the government does not let Fannie Mae retain profits. Its capital buffer has dwindled from $30 billion before the financial crisis to about $1.2 billion today and is on track to disappear by January 2018. At that point, it would be unable to weather quarterly losses and would need to draw on Treasury funds to avoid being placed into receivership. Highlights from the Mobile World Congress taking place in Spain. Samsung Electronics and LG Electronics unveiled their latest flagship devices, seeking to revive sales momentum and buck some slowing industry growth. The new Galaxy S7 comes with an improved camera, memory storage, water resistance, a longer battery life, while the LG G5 showed off a similar range of new features. The biggest news, however, was the firm's big jumps into virtual reality. Samsung is teaming up with Facebook to push VR elements into phones and social networking as well, and the two companies unveiled 360-degree recorders, cameras, and viewers. Payment card operators also taking part in Mobile World Congress. MasterCard bringing facial recognition services dubbed Selfie Pay to the UK to improve identity verification for mobile phone payments. British users will be able to scan fingerprints or snap selfies to validate their identities for completing online purchases. Meanwhile, Visa wants to turn your car into a mobile payments platform, showing off a concept app that will let drivers pay for fuel and parking, never even have to leave their vehicles. Also on display at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, 5G, or the fifth generation of wireless technology, offering mobile internet speeds that will let people download entire movies within seconds, and it may pave the way for new types of mobile applications. Under plans for 5G, carriers will most likely offer mobile internet speeds of more than 10 gigabits per second, or roughly 100 times faster than current networks and significantly quicker than existing broadband. That would allow you to download high-definition movies almost instantaneously, even if you're on the go. Such technology will not come cheap. Carriers and telecom equipment makers will have to install new hardware like cell phone towers in rural areas and tiny mobile hotspots in dense urban areas to reach the 10 gigabits per second target. They'll also have to increasingly rely on sophisticated software to manage the expected exponential jump in mobile data traffic. AT&T partnering with Intel to test and optimize how drones perform on LTE connections beyond line of sight at higher altitudes or when faced with external interference. The collaboration is designed to show how a network that has primarily been designed to connect devices such as smartphones on the ground can be reworked for unmanned aerial vehicles. Apple CEO Tim Cook has sent a new memo to all Apple employees explaining why the company is resisting an FBI request to decrypt an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino shooters. In the memo, Cook says the FBI should withdraw its demand to force Apple to develop a tool to help it break into the iPhone. He writes, "At stake is the data security of hundreds of millions of law-abiding people and setting a dangerous precedent that threatens everyone's civil liberties." A court last week ordered Apple to comply, but the company is challenging the order. Apple is calling for the government to launch a commission of experts to examine the effects of encryption technology on law enforcement. And Lumber Liquidators flooring tested for formaldehyde found to have three times higher risk of causing cancer than previously stated. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. There you'll find text, audio, author interviews, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.